Today we're going to be speaking about bison and zebu. And we've thought as follows. The Torah tells us there are 10 species of animals that are kosher. And it tells us the simani kashrus, the way we should know whether if you bang into an animal, we don't know whether which one of those 10 it is, or if it's one of those 10, gives us a simani kashrus to know whether the animal is kosher or drink. And those are well known. If it has hooves that are split all the way through and it chews its gut, then it's a kosher animal. But within those ten animals, three of them are classified as behema, and seven of them are classified as chaya, which roughly is translated as behema is a domesticated animal, and the chaya is a non-domesticated animal. And then there's at least three differences between those, and they are that a behema, if one of the animals that's a behema has an issur of oisav eskenai, you can't shech the mother and the child on the same day, and there are certain chil, certain fats that are in the animal that you're not allowed to eat, and it does not have an issur, a mitzvah of kisui adam, to cover the blood after the shechita. In contrast, chaya has the opposite. It does have a mitzvah of kisui adam, but it has no issur of oisav eskenai, and the chil is not usur. It so happens that birth follow the rules of the chaya. It's not relevant to today. But so the behemoth and chaya, no other animals of a behema or a chaya has an afkanino for at least these three dinim, but maybe for others as well. But the Torah tells us how to know whether an animal is one of those 10 animals, chewing its cut and having split hooves, but it doesn't tell us how we should know whether an animal is a behema or a chaya. It just lists off the 10. And actually, the Torah itself doesn't actually divide it into that, because I'll tell us that there are three of this and seven of this. But the Gemara tells us details of how to know whether an animal is a behemoth or a chayah. The way we do that has to do with the shape and the form and details about its horns teach us whether the animal is a behemoth or a chayah. That's how you could pick out whether one or the other is. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings these dinim, some of those dinim, the Rachonik said about it as well, but the Shulchan Aruch brings what he passed is how we know whether a certain whether an animal is a behemoth or a chayah. And the Shach says on the look at this. He says, I'm Pirush Shal Baram El Vavei Chesif. If you want to hear more details about this, go look at Vavei Chesif. Ulefish Ein Lanu Ata El Amashi Kibal Mubim Misaris. And since we only take animals, since we only have those that we have a Misari for, Ukadu Haman Simin Pepes, like we see later in Simin Pepes, which is Simin Pepes Gabi Simoni Oiv, but which is, by in Simin Pepes it says that, talks about whether which birds are kosher, that we spoke about when we learned Simin Pei Vav, we spoke about that, tells us which birds are kosher, and in describing the kosher birds, it gives us no simon to know which ones are kosher and trade. Instead, it just lists off, these are the 24 trade birds, and everything else is kosher. So, what happened was, it used to be people knew all 24. The Gemara gives simonim actually to know whether a bird is or is not in that. That's Chazal tells simon, not in the Torah. But mistakes came up. People made mistakes about knowing whether a bird was a dervish or was not a dervish, and from that developed a minhag, which is what it says in Simin Pepes. A minhag developed that we only eat birds for which we have a misura, that bird is a kosher bird. Otherwise, we do not rely just on the simanim. We only eat birds that we have a misura for. So the Shach says, if you keep simanim Simin Pepes, by birds it says we only eat birds with a misura, and so too. Over here also, we need to have a mitzvah, and so the Shach heads off, therefore I'm not going to bother giving you these details, because it's not relevant to you, because we need to have a mitzvah, just like in Simin Pepes, and therefore I'm not going to bother giving you the details, if you want to know more about it, go look in the basics. So, there's a machlokes, how to understand what the Shach needs to say. Does he mean to say that, just like in Simin Pepes, in Simin Pepes, we don't eat any bird unless we have a masara that it's a kosher bird. And so too, in our halacha, when we're talking about whether an animal is kosher, we only eat animals that we know we have a masara that are kosher, and that would include cows and sheep and goats as the behemoths, and deer as a chaya. Those are the ones we know, and Shulchan Aruch mentioned some other one, maybe a different kind of a European bison, a European buffalo. Basically, there's a very handful that we know that are kosher. And so if the Shach means to say is all we eat is the ones that we know are kosher, we know where those are classified as. We know cows, sheep, and goats are behemoths. We know that a deer is a chaya, and the European buffalo, the Shulchan Aruch, says it's a suffix. So we know what we have, so that those ones we can eat. We're never going to eat a new animal anyhow, so we don't need to know whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. The only ones we'll eat are these ones, and these we don't have a reserve for, and we know where each one of those are, whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. That's one possibility. The other choice is, that what the Shach needs to say is, we would eat an animal if it had simonikashas, it had split hooves and chews its coat. We would eat that animal, but we would never make a decision as to whether an animal is a behem or a chaya unless we had a masarah as to which one it was, and therefore, I don't have to tell you to know the difference between one and the other, what the Shachar was talking about. I don't have to tell you the difference between a behem and a chaya to know by the horns, because you'll never use that information. That information is not relevant, because we would never classify an animal as a behem or a chaya unless we knew from beforehand and we had a masarah for it. Okay, so the reading of the for the fact that he connects us to halacha of Siman Peipeis implies that he means to say is you need a masorah to eat the bird at all. In fact, that's how the Chachmas Adam understand what the Shach says. The Chachmas Adam says like this: he said Chazal gave us simanim to know whether an animal is kosher or treif, and to know whether an animal is a chayer behema. And he says, then he says, "Lufish ain anu oichlim el mashi kiblu b'masarim nevasim kaman simon sitvav." And since we only eat, he uses sticks in the word, we only eat what we have a masarim for to eat. Like we're going to say later on, halacha vav means is the halacha of birds. The inkit in his sefer, the inkit also on a lechom and a chayas rakatzish and nikolanu. Therefore, we won't eat any chayah other than the tzvi. Because a tzvi, we know that the way we translate the word tzvi means to me a deer, that what we know is a kosher chaya. And then, Ulachain, he ends up like the Shach says, I don't bother to tell you the details of having whether what animals are chayas or behemas, or even for that matter, whether it's chooses cut or not. It's not important because we only eat animals that have misery. So he's understanding the first thing he had said, that the Shach means to say is, we need a misery just like birds, we need a misery to eat a new animal. And therefore, we would never eat a new chaya. He means chai is because we know the three behemoths, cow, sheep, and goat. We know what those are, so we would never eat a new animal. If a new animal came and had split hooves and choose its cud, we would not eat that animal anyhow, and therefore it's not important to give the details of the simon. That's how the chokhsam is. But the Prima Gadol says he brings up such an idea that maybe that's pshat is. But he says, it can't be that that's what the Shach means. He says, how could you compare knowing whether an animal is kosher to knowing whether a bird is kosher? With a bird, there are four simanim, as we spoke about when we went to Simon Peipo, there are four simanim. There are lots of questions about which of the simanim applies and when it is or is not one of those meets those simanim. And the Gemara tells us a story that they thought an animal was not a dervis, which is an important simon. They thought it was not a dervis, and it turned out that it was a dervis. So there could be mistakes could be made. He says, so that's very complicated, and because it's not so clear and the complications, therefore, a minig gadol to only eat bread with a masarah. He says, what does it do with animals? Animals, split hooves and chewing those cuds, those are very clear cut simon. Why would anybody make a mistake about that? There's no reason to not think an animal's kosher with based on simon. He says that's not a comparison to simon peipeis. In the simon peipeis, it talks about birds where the simon are hard and complicated, and it's not easy to know whether they are. He says that wouldn't be a reason. What the Shach means is that just like in simon peipeis, when we got to something complicated, we said we won't do that, and we only rely on a masorah. So too for animals, to know whether it's a behem or a chayah, that in fact is equally complicated. It's just as complicated as knowing if a bird is kosher. There's different shitas. It's not always so clear whether horns meet this criteria or this criteria. Things are not so obvious. And therefore, knowing whether an animal is a behem or a chaya, that is similar to simon peipeis. And that part we need to have a masorah for. We will only classify an animal as behem or a chaya with a masorah. But if we come across an animal that we know is kosher, the Prima Gadol says, of course we can eat it. If it has chews, its cud, and split hooves, of course we can eat that animal. But we just won't classified as a behem or a chaya, which will mean is we'll be machmir for all sides. We'll do kisei adam, we won't eat the chelev, and we wouldn't check oisei vesper on the same day. We do kisei adam without a bracha. So we machmir all the shittas. Okay, so the Prima Gadol and Chacham Sadam are arguing as to what pshat in this shach is over here. Okay, this machlokes came to the fore in 1950. In 1950, farmers in Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reason, wanted to import kind of a cow called a zebu cow. Okay, the zebu cow is what you see on the right. It's what you see on the right. And these cows look rather different from the more traditional cows that we're used to. On the top left, you see a Holstein cow. That's what a typical milking cow is. And on the bottom left, you see an Angus cow. That's the kind of cow, the kind of cattle that are used for beef for eating. Okay, so what's different about this animal is, first of all, their color tends to be, they're not always, but they tend to be grayish. They have this very pronounced hump behind their neck. They have this extra flap of skin hanging in the front. It's called the dewlap. And their ears, in most cases, not always, but in most cases, the ears droop down. Okay, all of those are features that are not like a regular everyday cow. But what was unusual about the cow is it does well in very hot climates. And therefore, they wanted to bring the carrots as well, where the climate would work well. It would work well in this climate, and would survive well in there. So they brought this cow to Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to bring the cow to Eretz Yisrael, and of course it chews its cud, it has spittos like all other cows, and Rav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi, asked the Chazon Ish whether it was okay to bring this cow to Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish said, he said the Chacham Solomon is 100% right in his Pshat Neshach. He says he discounts the Pshat of Pirul Gadol. The Chazon Ish does. He says the Chacham Solomon is for sure right. He says, and therefore, we can only eat animals of the Masara. This animal is different enough from a regular cow that it's not included in the Masara of cows, and therefore we don't have a Masara of this animal, and we can't eat it. And he says that even if you might think that the Shach himself didn't mean this, for sure from the time of the Chacham Solomon, at least there's a minute. The Chacham Solomon is telling us there's a minute that we only eat animals that we have a Masara that they are kosher. This animal we have no Masara on, so we can't eat it. So, first time we're back to the Chazon Ish. A lot to say. First of all, I want the din part of it, but then he went one step further, and he found this cow. One of the places where it lives is in India and the Far East. So he went to Jews who lived in India and in Rangoon, which is part of Burma or Myanmar, and he went to them, and there were Jews who were living there, and they told him, yes, we have that cow, and we consider it kosher also. So he came to Chazon Ish and said, not only did he disagree with them on the din of it, of whether we should need to have a Masara, but he said, we actually have a Masara. If you think we need to have a Masara, then we do. The Chazon Ish didn't agree on the din part of it, and he, as far as transferring the Masara, he said, you can only get the Masara from a Gavra Rabba, and not from these communities. If you've been, this is something we talked about, again, in Siman Pei Vav, about transferring the Masara from one place to another. So the Chazon Ish's conclusion was that we're not allowed to eat the zebu cows. Now, before we go on, this question is not only relevant to zebu. That's the most common part. Well, we'll see some other examples, but that's a common part. But the truth is, Rabbi Zivdusky points out a whole slew of other animals that would meet the qualifications of chewing their cud and having spittos, but of course have no Masara on them, as you see here. And so for those also would be relevant to this question, do we need to have a Masara in order to eat an animal, or can we just know it has split hooves and chews its cud, and if we had that, we could eat it, and then just be machmir on the shadow, whether it's a behemoth or a chayah. Okay, well, so this question about the zebu or kosher was, again, it started in the 1950 in Eretz Yisrael, but the truth is, it continues to be a question, because not only does the cow do well in Eretz Yisrael and India and the Far East, but it also does well in South America, and many shechitas shech cattle in South America, and one of the cattle that they have there are these zebu cows, and so for them, those who are shechting over there need to think about this question, do we say, should we follow the Chazon Ish and the Chochmas Adam in saying that there's a Masara, we can't eat these animals, or should we follow the Prima Gadim, who said that yes, you don't need to have a Masara, or we just need to know that the animal chooses cut and has split hooves, and then we can eat it. So, but, now that's in South America, for those who shecht in South America. But the truth is, that even in the United States, the question also is relevant. There aren't many zebu cows in the United States. But in the United States, there's another cow, and that's called a Brangus. And the Brangus is a mix between a type of a zebu, it's called a Brahm, okay? And it mixed that with an Angus cow, the Angus cow we saw before. So Brahm and Angus together comes to the word Brangus. Okay, so it's a zebu and a and an Angus cow mixed together, bred together. There's 3/8 and 5/8. There's a special form of 3/8 zebu and 5/8 Angus, and comes out with this animal called the Prangus. So that would be a case where it would be even relevant to people in the United States. Now, what's more complicated is that when you're in South America and you come to a zebu, as we saw in the picture before, and it's pretty obvious that it's a zebu, or it's often obvious. Brangus, its features are not nearly as dramatic as the zebu's, and you might not even notice it. The Shaykh might not even notice it. Okay, so in a sense, that might make the question more complicated for us, because we would have to deal with the fact that the cow might come in without people noticing it. Okay, but on the other hand, the truth is, it's really the opposite. The truth is, the fact that there's Brangus cows, that people have, there's a International Brangus Breeders Association in Texas, which encourages and breeds these cows to make these Brangus cows, that in itself helps us for the zebu cows as well. And that's because the Gemara says that a kosher and non-kosher animal cannot mate and then produce a viable offspring. Either kosher and kosher can do that, or non-kosher and non-kosher. But kosher and non-kosher cannot meet together and produce viable offspring. Well, and as we said in Pesim Pevah, that means this. The fact that nowadays there's such a thing as a Brangus cow, the fact that zebu and regular and Angus can breed and produce a Brangus, a viable Brangus cow, tells us now that the Masorah we have on Angus cows applies to this cow as well. So in other words, this they didn't know in 1950. But just like the Herzog tried to find a Masorah from the Jews in India, and Chazanish did not accept that. He said, no, we can't get a Masorah for that. This type of spreading of a Masorah seems to be more firm and more stable, which is to say is the fact that we have that Brangus exists tells us that zebu must be a kosher animal, because if zebu wasn't kosher, then zebu and Angus wouldn't be able to breed to produce Brangus. So, in a sense, the machlokes that there is on the din, which had a specific application for zebu way back when, in the 1950s, seem to, at this point, to be having resolved from a different angle, resolved by spreading the Masorah from Angus onto this animal. Okay. One other example, where this Shiloh was relevant, and this is, again, an American Shiloh, which was for bison, okay, or otherwise known as American buffalo, okay. I use the word American buffalo. Most people in America would just call it a buffalo. We say American to distinguish it from what Shulchan Aruch speaks about buffalo, which is talking about a European buffalo, a little bit of a different animal. So, the American buffalo is quite different than a cow. You can see in the picture, an American buffalo looks a lot different than a regular cow, and it's native to the United States. It, of course, had no Masorah of being kosher. Jews didn't eat it till however long, till they came to the United States. And the Chazon Ish, what Mechayr would say is that this animal we're not allowed to eat, even though it chews its cud and has split hooves, we can't eat it because it has no Masorah of being a kosher animal. And in contrast, we would say that Prima Bellum would say that it would be okay. So Rebelsky wrote a chew about this. He wrote a chew because the OU was asked to give Hashkacha on a shechit of American buffalo and bison. And he said, well, he held that as mutter. First of all, he wasn't sure we should machir for the Chazanish. he wasn't even sure that the Chachma Zadon really means it, although it seemed pretty clear. He wasn't sure he meant it. He says he's not convinced that there was such a meaning in the first place. He had many different points that he made about this, and he said, therefore, he held that it was mutter. Rav Shechter agreed to that, mainly because he wasn't convinced it was a minute. So, as Rebelsky said, nobody ever knew about this minute except that it's printed in Chacham Zalman. He wasn't so convinced that this was really, in fact, such a minute existed to do the way the Chacham Zalman says and the Chazon Ish had said. And therefore, they were makel to allow, excuse me, the shechita of buffalo, American buffalo. And in this regard, we bring up the same point that I mentioned beforehand, which is Rabbi Zevtovsky points out that there's an animal called beefalo, which is also a mix of bison and regular cows, in this case usually Hereford. It's a mixture of those cows, and the fact that we can breed a buffalo together with a traditional cow and come out with a viable offspring should allow us to spread the Masorah that we have to those animals, and that's an extra argument to say why those animals should be kosher.